Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, and happy Father's Day. Tomorrow, we celebrate Father's Day. I hope that means something to you. Some of us try to forget that day. Others celebrate it largely. And what does that depend upon? It depends upon who your daddy was. Now, we like to think of the bright side, and we'll talk about the bright side today. But we're also going to talk about the reality of fatherhood. We do so many shows on women. You know, 8 out of 10 people that get involved in holistic medicine, at least in the marketplace, are females. That's a whole other discussion. Tomorrow's Father's Day, and who was your daddy? And why was your daddy your daddy? And how sincerely do we celebrate it tomorrow based upon the amount of love you feel you received? And let's face it, if you had a great dad, Father's Day is a big day because you've got something to celebrate. If you feel like you've been ripped off, betrayed, neglected, abandoned, if you never knew your father, what's your Father's Day like? I want to give you a perspective on that in the next 60 minutes. One of the great things about being a doctor is you get perspective because you hear so many stories. So many stories of happiness, so many stories of sadness, so many stories of complete and utter horrific tragedy. I've done that for 2 decades. I've listened to volumes of stories. And I like to look at people, and I like to look at even holidays like Father's Day from the standpoint of the scientist. In other words, what happened to Dad? What was the environment that Dad grew up in? When you look at him tomorrow, all the good you think about, all the bad you overlook or have hopefully come to terms with. Because if you don't come to terms with Dad, whether you're the little girl or the little boy, if you don't come to terms with Dad, then in part, you're still the little girl and the little boy. And that's no good for your future, your present, or your children. If you're playing out your mommy, daddy stuff, if you haven't worked that out, it's because you don't understand, in part at least, you don't understand why you took the beating you took, why you took the neglect you took. So what's that about? In the bigger picture, it's about the cult of manhood. We celebrate Father's Day tomorrow. Across that table, you're looking at a man. That man had a wife, or perhaps not. That man bore children with a woman. That's definite. And that man and the way he treated you is the product of an experience. And that experience is what we call the cult of manhood. And the cult of manhood is undergoing tremendous transition. So I want to get perspective on that, past, present, and future. Because that's the way to understand why you suffer. It's the way to understand why you were loved, how you were loved, how well you were loved, what constituted love in general is a perspective. It's a perception. It's an expression of a behavioral pattern that really comes down to the cult of manhood. I'm going to start with a twist as always. If you're new to the show, this is Dr. Vincent Medici, giving you perspectives from lots of different angles. Get to the website, as always, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. If you're driving, when you get home, get to the website. You'll need to listen to this show again. This show isn't highly technical today. Tomorrow's Father's Day. But look at the pictures. Look at the pictures of those gorillas. I love gorilla pictures. Ferocious gorillas with canines like tigers. Take a look. I put them there of gorillas in situ, meaning in the jungle. This is the way they live in the jungle. Look at picture number two. Take a look at that. Look at the width on that animal. That animal has the power to take 10 6'5", 300-pound weightlifters, football players, and break them in two pieces easily. Tear them limb from limb. That one animal, that's a 1,000, maybe 1,200-pound mountain gorilla. You know, they say there's only about 700 of them left in the world, in Africa. Only 700 men. The men perhaps we celebrate tomorrow. Men who are loving fathers. Cut the hands off those animals and use them as ashtrays. That's part of the cult of manhood. What we call the cult of manhood includes, not exclusively, that same man that cuts the hand off a gorilla is the same man that cuddles a baby, that kisses his wife good morning and good night, that bows to God. So we can't be judgmental here, but we have to look at things from a bunch of perspectives to understand who the man is across the table that you're going to wish Happy Father's Day to, or perhaps who the man is that you've forgiven, that's injured you, that you're going to call tomorrow in another state, maybe in another country, and say Happy Father's Day. Or the father that you're just wishing good tidings as he's in the other realm. That's the same man that just might have cut the hand off that gorilla, at least in spirit. Look at the size of that animal. Go into this with me. Look at picture number three. Look at that. Now, you don't have to be an evolutionist to think that that's magnificent. Whether you believe we evolved from apes or whether you believe we did not, there are nonetheless, and no one can deny this, some unbelievable similarities between gorillas and men and women. For instance, gorillas are one of the few, if not the only, animal that makes love to the woman staring at her. That's right, gorillas do that. You know, we always think of animals having sex as that sort of funny, sort of awesome phenomenon. Of course, he's from behind. They don't look at each other. Gorillas do. You know, lions orgasm. I've had clients that pay lots of money to go on safaris and watch, of course, with binoculars. I think few have gotten too close to animals making love. But animals generally go from behind, and it kind of looks comical or divine in a sense. But it doesn't simulate that special thing. Lions orgasm. They have pleasure during lovemaking. Gorillas do the same. And they look at each other. That's big. But of course, those tender, loving gorillas can also be ferocious. So you have to look at picture number one and remind yourself that those same men, if you have that kind of man, that make love looking at you, staring at you, into your eyes, also are ferocious. But of course, these are gorillas, so you have to be careful with that comparison. But you'll see where I'm going. Now look at picture number four. There's the boss. That's not a young gorilla. Just as that wouldn't be a young man. That's a 60-year-old gorilla. It's an older gorilla. And he obviously is the boss. Or at least he thinks he's the boss. He may just be counting change in the back of the restaurant. He collects the money, everyone else does the work. And that great big gut there, well, 30 years earlier, 20 years earlier, that great big silverback didn't have that great big gut. Back then, that great big gorilla, well, he looked maybe a lot more like picture number five. Now take a look at picture number five. That should come up for you rather easily. That's something you don't want to break up. If you see that going on in a bar one night or in a dark alley in some extinct city in the United States or abroad, don't get between those two animals. Those two animals are charging each other with enough force to do, well, things you can't even imagine. Of course, this is a zoo. I wanted one out in the wild, but I couldn't get one. This is in the zoo, so those are actually weak gorillas. They're not strong. Gorillas in the zoo are not as strong, but we'll get that in a moment. The point is, those two gorillas, well, if a gorilla gets angry enough, it can actually break into the spine of a lion. That's right. Or a bear. Now, bears have claws and lions have claws, but here's the thing. Pound for pound, if that gorilla moves its arm and taps the spine of a full-grown lion, it will break its spine in two. Oh, I've been into this for years, since I was a little boy, playing out gorilla games of my own on the streets of New York City. And that's another story. I've been absolutely mesmerized by gorillas, silverbacks particularly, and the things they can do. And, well, you won't want to hear this, but back in the days of the Roman Empire, they would catch these animals. That's right. Gorillas were around back then, and people would catch them and put them in the Colosseum and watch them fight. And still that literature exists today. What would happen? I was always mesmerized by those facts. That's how strong gorillas are. And why do I say that? Well, listen, whether you're a creationist or an evolutionist isn't the point. The point is we have a lot to do with those gorillas. We do. Because men are raised as gorillas. They protect their young. They protect their women. They go out and get food. They establish dominance in a troop. They fight other males for the best woman. They do all sorts of things that people do, including make love eye to eye. And you got to hang on there because we're going to go somewhere with that. Go to picture number 8. You see, being from New York when I was a little boy, I'd go to the Bronx Zoo. Now, the Bronx, all right, I say back about 500 years ago was a vortex of fertility, just as Manhattan was. But the Bronx, when I grew up, was a war zone. It's where you went with your parents and you looked out the windows of the cars at all the sick things you would see, the poverty, the crowding, the concrete, the harsh gray skies, the wind, the cold. The sadness in the faces of the people. And then you got to the Bronx Zoo. And that, of course, was a treat. That's why you went from Queens or Manhattan or Long Island into the Bronx. Because that's where the zoo was back then in the late 60s. And you'd see silverback gorillas a lot like that. And I always wondered why they always looked sad. And I kind of understood, but I didn't understand. Because you'd read in National Geographic about all those wild-looking gorillas. And then you'd go to the zoo and you'd look at things like that. Look at that picture number 8. Look at picture number 12. Look at them. Now go look at picture number 9. Do that. Look at the coat on that gorilla, picture number 9. Look at the sleek, black, silver coat. Those are not silverbacks, so they're not fully there yet. But they're on their way. Sooner or later, they're going to look like picture number 6. They're on their way, but not quite. Look at 12. Look at 8. Look at those animals. Do this. It's a meditation. That's you. That's what's happened to us. That's what's happened to the cult of manhood. And whether you want to come to terms with it or not, when your father hit you, when he neglected you, when he didn't want to understand, when he was either too macho or too gentle, it's because his habitat, his arrangement growing up, was not in ecological balance. You see, we're looking to be the gorilla in balance. Manhood, the cult of manhood, which means what you celebrate tomorrow. Because where you can't celebrate tomorrow, where you look at the man across from you or call the man in another state or another country, whatever sins on his part you've forgiven or what other attributes on his part you celebrate all have to do with his ability to do two things. Picture number one. Yeah, there was a place for picture number one. And then there was a place for picture number 10. Look at picture number 10. That's Diana Fossey, right? That was the gorilla lady. That was the one that went into the dark jungles of Africa back in the 60s and 70s and lived with those animals and slept with those animals. And there she is in the picture. Your dad has that in him too. Well, you know that, don't you? Of course you do. Dad was gentle, but dad was also ferocious. And when in the balance of trade, dad was gentle when he was supposed to be ferocious. Dad was gentle when he was supposed to draw a line in the sand. Or dad was abusive when he was supposed to be gentle. When he was supposed to be gentle talking to his son, talking to his daughter, talking to his wife, or when he was supposed to draw a line talking to his daughter, talking to his wife, or talking to his son. When those balances were off, you were wounded. Let's just say that put one candle out on the birthday cake. And enough of that over 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, well, it all adds up. So tomorrow, happy Father's Day. But think about this. Think about dad's habitat, because that's where you're going to find forgiveness. Dad and his environment was much bigger than him. Much bigger. Because bottom line is, dad was a lot like that gorilla in a cage. One way or the other. Picture 8, picture 12. That's what's happened to men today. Oh, yes, it has. Real men are definitely a dying breed. But not picture 39. Go down there to good old picture number 39. Last picture on it. Take it that. There's the man of today. Maybe he's metrosexual. I didn't even know what that word meant till about 6 months ago. He's metro. He's not straight. He's not gay. He's sort of in between, whatever that means. One thing is, he's computer proficient, very literate, right down. Dots his I's, crosses his T's, wears only the best clothes, has the iPad, has the iPhone, has a Mac, and is proficient in all three. Has 40,000 friends on Facebook, does a Twitter or two, has a following. He makes impact through technology, and he's proud of it. He has status because of it. He might have 5, 10, 15, 20,000 good friends. Friends that'll support him when he's in jail. Friends that'll support him when he's sick in the hospital. And friends, of course, that will lend him money when he's gone through a bankruptcy. Just ask Facebook. There's 40,000 of those. Well, you see, that's the cutting edge. The cutting edge is guys like that, metrosexuals. Of course, then, there's picture number 36. Now, there's Geronimo. Do you notice the wide zygomatic arches on Geronimo? Do you notice the chin? When you see a guy with a chin like that, his testicles are larger. When you see a guy like that, his adrenal glands are bigger. But what happened to Geronimo? Geronimo disappeared. Geronimo died, a conquered, sad, disgusted, cynical old Indian. He got whooped by guys like that with the computer because they had a technological advance over the American Indian. And for as much as that's the story of life, and for as much as Indians ate Indians too, and for as much as whether you have big wide jaws or little chiseled chins, whether you have testicles the size of small lemons or small apple seeds, nonetheless, Geronimo, and look at the picture number 38. Jack Dempsey. Look at that. Look at Jack Dempsey, prize fighter. Most people under the age of 40 never even heard the name. One of the great prize fighters of history. Up with the best. Look at the jawbones on Geronimo. Look at the jawbones of Jack Dempsey. Now, that didn't necessarily make them better men. But one thing for sure, they had bigger adrenal glands and they have bigger testicles. And that's a physiological phenomenon. That is the truth. And whatever picture number 39 is about is the new male. It is the metro male. It is the age of technology, what we've evolved. And I cite them because they're two extremes. And they're looking for a balance between the two. And from the harshness of a dying Indian to the harshness of American boxing to the machismo of all the things that abused you as a child, all the way to the whatever picture number 39 is, that evolution really explains the cult of manhood. You can see the full pendulum right there. Now here's the capper, or it's one of the toppers. When we went from the jungle to the farm, let's look at picture number 32. Now there's the jungle. Those are Aborigines. Do you notice the relationship between the Aborigine? Those are middle-aged Aborigines. That guy in the middle is in his 50s. Look at the muscle tone on that. And I'll guarantee you a full set of teeth. Look at his son on the left. Yes, that's his son. Look at that. Look at Geronimo and look at Jack Dempsey. And understand that that's what happens when the soil is fertile. That's what happens when the child is breastfed. That's what happens when the organism grows up in the correct ecosystem. Now, we're not producing that anymore. We're not. At the top of the page is an article on adverse trends in male reproductive health. I'm going to go to that article later. Click that article. It's free on the internet. It's a study from Scandinavia citing how dangerously low the sperm counts are becoming. I don't think that's good. I don't think that's good for the culture. I don't think it's good when the culture can't produce 200, 300, 400 million sperm in an ejaculate. I think when it gets below critical mass, it's not about population. It's not about being able to reproduce. But you have to understand, against 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 years, against many thousands of years of evolution, if you believe that, and if not, just go back 500 years. I don't think it's good when the sperm count has gotten that low. Why? Because we're not the gorilla anymore. We're not Geronimo. We're not the Aborigine. We're not Jack Dempsey. But who wants to be those people? Who wants to be like that? They were savages. They would tear your head off. It's better to be like the metrosexual. Because he's in touch with his feminine. Because he can cry. Because he can express his feelings. Because he won't pound his fist on the table. He'll just say darn, darn, darn. Because he'll let his female have her voice too. So who wants to be a machismo, overly aggressive? But nobody ever did. And that's the other side of it. You see, we've always had a concept of manhood that we at least had an ecosystem to support, whether you turned in to a righteous man or you did not. Whether you turned into a gentleman or you did not, at least you had the chance. How do we have the chance today when we can't even produce enough sperm? So in a sense, we celebrate the metrosexual. In a sense, we celebrate the softer, finer, more refined, more effeminate, modern-day he-she. And of course, it exists in stark contrast to the savage. The machismo savage. Two quick to haul off and smack their son or wife or daughter across the living room. And in our pain, we remember that, so we applaud the metrosexual. Except you have to think about something. You have to think that the sperm counts are disappearing. They are. Infertility reigns supreme. Now, the implication of that is enormous. Because while we're celebrating the metrosexual, and many of us are, the more refined male, and producing physiognomies, you don't have faces like Jack Dempsey. Go find a face like Geronimo. Go find a face like those three Aborigines. As the ecosystem disappears, as our behaviors conform to the disappearance of the ecosystem, our social customs will do that also. In fact, here's a good one. I didn't put it on. Actually, I should have. Go look up. Do a Google search. Do this for yourself. Do a Google search on men with wide faces and strong chins and how traditionally that was considered the elite male look. That was like the look to have, the wide palatal arch with the strong chin and the high cheekbones. How that was at one time considered the look and how that is no longer considered the look. In fact, you'll see articles on how women on birth control. Check this article out. I should have put it on. Women on birth control consider the more effeminate look far more appealing. With the disappearance of the ecosystem, we have heralded the appearance of the pretty boy. That's what we've done. Now, we always had pretty boys. There's nothing wrong with being a pretty boy. Except in war, except out on the prairie, except when you really need someone to cover your back. And I know no one needs anybody today to cover our back because we have all these problems solved. And if we don't, it's because guys like Jack Dempsey still exist. If we eradicate all of them, if we could just bring the sperm counts down to zero, if we could just collapse their palatal arches, make their faces as narrow as goldfish in a bowl, then we wouldn't have fathers that abuse children, because only those macho guys have enough testosterone to do that. And thus, we need to create a transition in the cult of manhood. We need to make the guy on picture number 39 our movie stars. We need to make the guy in picture number 39 our corporate heads. We need to make our computer literate metrosexuals, the guys we emulate, that your sons model themselves after. Because after all, we don't need guys like Geronimo anymore. We don't need silverback gorillas anymore. We don't need guys with big, wide faces and strong bones anymore, because we don't need to fight anymore. And even if we do fight, we just press buttons. And that's what's here. It is here. And it's here, and the proof of it is, when you look across at your dad filled with fear, your dad filled with insecurities, your dad that didn't measure up, your dad that didn't measure up to the standards of manhood, that went home and took it out on you, or your sister, or your mother, if he was even there. We've solved that now. With the metrosexual, the computer literate metrosexual. So you see, there's two sides to this fence here. But before you celebrate the computer literate, you've got to understand that the sperm counts, look at picture, not picture, look at that article. Adverse trends in male reproductive health. That's where all social commentary is over. That's where you can come in as a scientist, as a biologist, as someone that's listening to the ecosystem and listening to the pulse. And you gotta have that perspective, because if you really talk about a reality, adverse trends in male reproductive health, we may have reached a crucial tipping point. That's right. Picture number 39 represents a crucial tipping point. Now, of course, that may be better than an abusive, macho, overbearing, physically and verbally abusive male. No arguments. But it's not the solution either, and it's the one we're choosing. It's the one that's evolving. It's the one we're going with. There's no two ways about it. And that's what we have to think about. What you have to do is start to think about the cult of manhood. You've got to create your own. Because that's what will make a better father. Most people think of fathers, when they think of them, when they have problems with them, as overbearing, as too macho, as physically, verbally, mentally abusive, some form of this. But the other side exists. And that's the one that couldn't draw the line. Now, this is what I love about America, you see. You don't get away with being a metrosexual in Serbia or Croatia or Afghanistan or Israel. We still have countries that have had to fight every single day to survive. And whether you're a computer literate or you're Jack Dempsey doesn't matter. If you can't meet the call, we eliminate you. You disappear from the culture. No one respects you. You don't get the jobs. You're not respected. You're considered dirt. Because those countries still live that way. But what I love about America is that we can look at this. We can look at the man we once had that would produce a good 200, 300, 400 million sperm per ejaculate. And we can read articles, and there's hundreds of articles like this. I mean, the sperm counts are gone. I'll get into, before the show is over, about six or seven things. But that's not the point. Tomorrow's Father's Day. You're not thinking health tomorrow. You're thinking about the man who you love on the level that you love him. And where you can't, where you still find it difficult, where you still feel the pain, is where you have to understand what I'm saying here today. By the way, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Love to do a show like this when appropriate. And it's appropriate. So what do? What we do is we take Geronimo, we take Jack Dempsey, we take the silverback gorilla, and we take the metrosexual. And we throw them in a blender. That's right, we throw them in a blender. And we blend them up. And what comes out of that is on the money. That's what we failed to do 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, and that's what we're failing to do today. The difference is, and why we should celebrate America, is we've got the freedom to consider these things and do something about it. If a guy wants to be gay, he can go out and be gay, and nobody crucifies him. That wouldn't go far in some other countries. If you want to be a metrosexual, you can. That wouldn't go far in some other countries. If you want to be macho, even to the point of ridiculousness, to a point, you can get away with that today. This is what drives America, the fact that we can hybridize perceptions of being. This is why everyone today still comes here, because you can evolve consciousness. This is why I can even do a show like this on Christian radio, because this station has, I think, an extremely healthy concept of spirituality. And that's to be celebrated. Now, how do we improve on it? What do we really need to do to make that blend? Well, first thing we got to do is fix the sperm count, because we need the raw material. If we're not producing kids with enough jawbone, enough arch in the palate, enough big, strong teeth, sturdy bones and muscles, testicles larger than apple seeds, adrenal glands to be proud of. If we don't have that, then what we throw into the blender, we have no shot at. You cannot build a healthy, balanced nation, nor can you be a healthy, balanced father when you're the quintessential metro. And again, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, but nonetheless, the sperm counts are disappearing, and they are disappearing as the minerals leach from the soil. And as the minerals leach from the soil, and we sit on hot seats in automobiles, and the EMF fries our testicles, and as the sperm counts drop for a whole bunch of other reasons I'll get into, the faces are shrinking. That's a physiological shift. You can talk all the sociology and social psychology and anthropology you want. The ecosystem's disappearing, and the faces are changing, and the sperm counts are dropping. That is not going to positively impact the spearhead of the culture. And picture number 39 proves my point. You got to get that. Look it up on Google that women think those faces are more attractive. Is significant. It's truly significant. We're turning into a culture that doesn't appreciate meat on the bone, because you don't need meat on the bone to press a computer key or to play a video game or to express your aggression on Facebook or to express and come to terms with your macho over Facebook. We don't need to do that. That's dangerous. Because you see, from The Matrix to The Fifth Monkey to Blade Runner, to all the sci-fi there ever was, to Huxley's Brave New World, is a society that's starting to develop its sense of reality in its own mind. And that is very dangerous. As we isolate behind the computer, as our children stay unanimously, amorously in love with that iPad, as we're schooled now, as we take our MCATs on computers even, as we live in cars, live in videos, live on computers, think Facebook's reality. Sorry, there ought to be a law. I don't care about the benefits of Facebook. They're stupid. Cost-benefit, they create a false sense of reality. That's dangerous. We're doing it all the time. And it correlates to the disappearance of the ecosystem. We can say the disappearance of the ecosystem is not good. We can get that. But far be it for us to challenge that Facebook is anything but a bastardization of reality. And what good is that? See, there are inconsistencies there, incongruities, yes. Save the whales. Save the ecosystem. Be eco-clean, eco-green. But it's okay to live on Facebook. You got to get that. It's not a superfluous statement. It's not redundant. It's asking you to consider that the Father's Day you're celebrating is a reflection of how the soil and the seeds and the ecosystem have disappeared. And that what we've done is spawned off manifestations of that, from Facebook to computer literacy to the metrosexual, that don't represent reality. We got to go back and take a look at what happened when at least we had the raw material to Geronimo, to Jack Dempsey, to the silverback gorilla. That's what we got to do. Now start there. Start there. Let's talk about Dad and his lowered sperm count. Dad's the protector. Your father, if he abused you, it came out of tensions, the tensions of manhood, the tensions that come when relationships fail, when lives fail, when dreams don't come true, right? When Dad was happy, you were happy. And when Dad was mad, you paid. Little girl, little boy, or mom. Dad was the protector. Dad was strong. Dad bring home the money. Dad had the final say. And if you disagreed with him, maybe you got the backhand. Dad was the hunter. Dad may have hunted down your mom. Dad may have swept her off her feet, because she was just standing there waiting to be swept off her feet. Dad set the standard for what the man should be, how you understood manhood. Dad understood, or dad set the standard for how his daughter should choose a man. What his son or daughter would emulate, dad set the standard. Dad was the fertilizer. Dad provided the seed from the testes. Your dad may have been all of or none of these things, but two things for sure. Dad lived a life under the burden of measuring up to those standards. There was a cult of manhood. We have failed that cult of manhood because we have produced macho men or metrosexual men. We have not figured out that balance yet. That balance only comes from right living, and right living only comes from living a life in balance with the ecosystem. In our failure, metrosexual or macho man is where science comes in and has a voice. That's why I put that article there. There's no more sperm left. Now, that gorilla that copulates 55 times per hour, 55 times per hour, a gorilla making love face to face copulates. That's 55 ejaculations an hour. A chimpanzee, believe it or not, a more sexually evolved animal, if I can use those terms, the chimpanzee, per ejaculation, 1 to 1.5 billion sperm. 1 to 1.5 billion sperm. We can't get up 50 million anymore. Of course, that's a chimpanzee in the wild. Of course, that's a gorilla in a wild. Put a gorilla in a cage. Put dad in a cage. And you don't copulate 55 times an hour, and you don't blow 1.5 billion, I said, not million, 1.5 billion sperm. We were in the jungle, then we were on the farm, then we were in the factory. Now we're in the corporate palace. You know, the cubicle, the fluorescent light. I don't need to get into it. You don't need to listen to it again. You get the point. That evolution is killing the sperm count. It's killing manhood. At least we had a manhood to work with. Tight underwear. Tight underwear. Don't wear tight underwear. Don't wear underwear. Underwear is bad. That you have to go to work with underwear is a problem. That you have to wear a synthetic pair of pants is a problem. That you have to wear a belt is a problem. That you have to wear shoes is a problem. That you have to put your feet on concrete is a problem. And your testicles are telling you. That you buy seats with cars that are radiated. That your car has radiation. That when you put your foot on the gas pedal or the brake pedal, if you measure it with a Gauss meter, you're looking at 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 milligauss. That if you live in cold areas, including L.A. in the winter, and you put the hot car seat on, that you're frying your testicles, that you eat your food at the office with microwave ovens, that you live with the computer is frying your sperm. That it's difficult to get a good source of animal protein, so lots of people don't. That we're in our macho, that we in our sick, decrepit macho abuse animals and have produced vegans. Vegans only exist. Do you understand? Vegans and vegetarians only exist off the back of macho men that abused animals. American Indians did not abuse animals. Africans on the plains do not abuse animals. Modern man has abused animals. Men and women living in sync with community. Never abused animals. They killed them. They made killing of animals a rites of passage in appropriate fashion with respect to the animal and to God. Our failure to respect that and what we have become as macho men has produced your vegans. It's produced your metrosexuals. Metrosexuals. Understand that. If we're not producing sperm, it's because of all of these things. Obesity. Insulin. We've gotten rid of meat. And now we think modern food, carbohydrates. You can't make sperm on carbohydrates. It won't work. Just from the standpoint of insulin, it does not work. Every single Vedic practice, any practice worth its salt that looks to destroy male ego, macho, for esoteric purposes, to evolve consciousness. Every practice across seven continents, including America, check this out. Every practice across America that looks to evolve consciousness, to balance the male with his female, makes the men and the women not eat meat. Why? Because it's a great way to kill testosterone. And in phases of life, it may be extremely appropriate to do so. But that's not my point. My point is, if you look at the depletion of the sperm counts, you have to factor in this grain-oriented, carbo-oriented, sugar-oriented society, all the way to the glorification of the metrosexual vegan. That's right. That's right. That's what we're producing. The passive-aggressive, metrosexual, vegetarian, vegan. They're all over. And there's something wrong with that. But you know what? It's better than the macho man. And you have to respect that too. We've produced these people. We've produced them. And we have to respect how we've produced them so we can fix this. So you can fix it for your children. But first we have to understand what happened to the sperm count so that at least we can fix it. I'm not done. There are solutions. So from EMF to tight underwear to protein deficiency to all the manifestations of such, to last but not least, the psoas muscle. Yes, indeed, the structural issue behind decreased sperm count. Take a look at picture. Take a look at picture number. Oh, my tech did not put the psoas muscle up. Wow. We're missing a very important picture. The psoas muscle. Well, you're going to have to go from memory. The psoas muscle. A lot of you have already seen it. So you have to picture it. Two cords of muscle, two intense bands of muscle that constitute what we call the abdominal cavity. As the muscle tightens, it moves anteriorly, it shortens. And as it shortens, the psoas muscle begins to crush the abdominal cavity. All right, that's my mistake. We did get it. I apologize to my tech. Look at picture number 43. Look at picture number 43. That's the psoas muscle. There it is. Picture number 43 is a big, strong band of muscle. I've shown it to you before. Two ends of it, the spine and the thigh. That's the muscle you kick with, the muscle you move with, the muscle you run with. Outside of the masseter, it's the single most powerful muscle of the body. Now look at picture number 42. Look at that person from the side. Yeah, you can make that picture larger if you like. You know how to do that. Just put two fingers on your touchpad and spread them apart, and it'll make the picture bigger. Look at the psoas muscle. With the picture on the right, that's an athlete. The psoas muscle of the picture on the left is an individual that's aging, like your typical American, and that muscle comes forward. It comes forward, and as it comes forward, it crushes the space between the blue anterior muscle and the psoas muscle. The psoas muscle's red, the blue muscle's your rectus abdominis. And as that psoas muscle begins to displace forward, as it does with everyone, unless it's addressed, it crushes the abdominal cavity. Now add some weight to that. That's right, weight. Add high sugar, add shorts, add radiation from computers, from cell phones, from your automobiles. Put that all together and understand that your testicle is now being separated. It's being crushed and denuded. It's being disconnected from the rest of your body. You have to understand that biochemically, biophysically, structurally, the penis is being pulled in dissociation from the abdominal cavity. There is a physical compression of the nerves, the blood, the lymph, and the venous system to and from the testes. That's a very large thing. All the way to picture number 22. Take a look at picture number 22. Picture number 22 is the varicocele. The varicocele is a hemorrhoid. It's a dilation of the venous plexus that drains the testicle. And once that happens, it's a classic example of how, through an aberrant biomechanics, through an aberrant structure, for all these reasons, displacement of the psoas, fixation of the sacrum, weakness of the perineum. These are all terms I've used. These are all terms I've done whole shows on. I want you to piece it together here. Yes, that's right. This is what Dad was made of. There is a psycho-spiritual effect from a physical structural shift. When that penis is no longer part, when penis and testicles are no longer part of the body, the mind will suffer. And that's what we're doing. Whether we're macho men or whether we are metrosexual, we're not giving respect to what it takes to create a competent body internally or within the world's ecosystem. And we will play out aberrant patterns till our dying day, whether it's one extreme or the other. A displaced psoas and a fixated sacrum will resist drainage from that plexus, the papiniform plexus it's called, of the scrotum. You'll create a hemorrhoid, and that changes the temperature of the testes. That rise in temperature produces infertility. You don't need a varicocele to be infertile. You just need every other reason I gave. When I show you Nolly, go to my last couple of shows and look at the guy doing Nolly. When I talk about flexibility, when I talk about lowering your insulin, when I talk about autonomic balance to balance the cortisol, when I talk about the relationship between the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system, I'm talking about appropriate masculine and appropriate feminine behavior. That's right. Appropriate masculinity is when the sympathetic nervous system engages in balance with the parasympathetic nervous system. Do you know when it's time to throw a punch? Do you know when it's time to speak up? Do you know when it's time to get intense? Do you know when it's time to back off? Do you and have you mastered the art of tough love? What you're asking on Father's Day is for tough love. What your children ask for is tough love. Tough love is an American euphemism to describe the balance in the autonomic nervous system. And that balance has to be practiced internally. That is what health is. The internal practice of what balances the two autonomic nervous systems. In every show I've given you, from this one to 160 shows ago, has been in that vein. So what is a good father? How will your son become a good father? What is the problem? Most fundamentally, we don't understand how to balance both sides of the brain. We're either in our macho side or our effeminate side. We're macho when we should be effeminate. We're effeminate when we should be macho. And collectively, we're always missing. Our future is not with the metrosexual, no more it is with the wife beater or people that cut the hands off gorillas and feel good about it. Our future is neither. Our future is an understanding that health has a psychological consequence, that tomorrow we celebrate Father's Day in the name of the very issues I'm proposing today. Did your father understand tough love? If he did, light an extra candle on the cake. If he didn't understand, he was up against something much bigger than he could have understood. And understand forgiveness, if you can. For some of you, from the stories I hear, I don't know how you can, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't. It just means I don't understand it. That is the limit of my consciousness. With some of the things I've heard, I don't get it. But if you can, you should find forgiveness. So you can get over your daddy stuff and become a more balanced individual. Because it's made of all of these things. Look at picture number 34. Look at picture number 34. Look at the balance in that face. You see? You see the balance in that face? Look at picture number 33. Look at the balance in those faces. One thing for sure, harmony in nature. Perhaps more of the macho we disdain, thus the metrosexual, has come out of, well, it's no longer the Garden of Eden. It's the factory, and on Monday, it's the computer. Think about it. You guys have a great week. 714-850-1007. Give us a call for your health.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.